Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. He is in the studio, or will be, allegedly, to answer your questions about physical therapy and keeping yourself injury-free this summer. You got an injured or aching knee, shoulder, elbow, back, whatever? Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also reach out to us via email already at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Physical therapy, Matthew Goodemote, and your aches and your pains coming up after the news. Oh, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy. It's a virtual-only PT practice. Matthew's a spine specialist holding his McKenzie Spine Institute International Diploma. He works with... He also works internationally with runners providing workshops and exercise programs to prevent injury and maximize performance. That's the way the sentence was written. Matthew can help you answer your questions and determine the steps you need to take to resolve your condition, if it's a physical condition. If you have an ache or a pain you think physical therapy can remedy, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. I'm speaking just a little slower than usual because the guest is not here, but I'm told he's coming very soon, and now here he is, Matthew Goodemote. What the heck kept you? What's going on? Let's open his microphone. Oh, it is. It's open. I see.
Hi, Ray.
What the blue blazes happened to you?
Got stuck in traffic an hour from here.
I'm sorry, man. I was about to regale the audience with my tale of lifting, probably 2 tons worth of 50-pound stone bags when we redid our driveway.
Wow.
And it was a few weeks ago, but I'm still sore.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't lift properly.
Right.
The proper way to lift is have your children do it. And that didn't happen, obviously, for a number of reasons. So what's going on, man?
Not much, Ray. How are you doing?
Okay. The script caught me off guard. You're virtual only. How can you do PT virtually?
So on June 15th, I sold my physical therapy practice in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, you did now?
I did, to a group called Capital Area Physical Therapy.
Can I borrow $20?
Yeah. Sure, Ray.
Yeah, all right. So that's good. So you're out of the physical realm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a lot of problems with my hands because I did so much manual therapy and I played a lot of basketball and dislocated my fingers a bunch of times.
Oh, boy.
So after dealing with it for a while and this really sounds bad and I'm embarrassed to say it out loud, but I would wake up in the middle of the night because my hands would hurt. Yeah. And it didn't dawn on me that I should slow down or take a step back.
Okay, well, this makes sense.
So I did, and I was traveling with my family, and my wife is from Denmark, so we spent quite a bit of time over there. And both my kids are going to be going to college over there. And while I was over there, I just started to feel better physically, mentally, and the grind of being in the clinic all day, every day, it started to look less and less fun. And also, I knew that I couldn't do therapy the way I wanted to. So I'm used to doing my hands, and to not do that or to hurt myself to do that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
You know what I saw, man? I was thinking about you the other day. I forget what local rag I was reading, but there was an ad for foot massage, and there's it's not massaging feet. I believe it's people standing on.
Oh.
Based on the pic, I didn't have my glasses on, but do people do that with their feet?
Yeah, I think it's called shiatsu.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah. Because I'd have to get trained. So a lot of people suggested that I try different things without my hands. And honestly, the first part of my career, I never used my hands. But it's really challenging when you know if I just press here or do a movement there, that it's going to alleviate some problems to not do that. And I did try for a little while, but the other big thing was I'm 25 years doing this, and I'm looking for I still like seeing patients. That was actually the hardest part about this, because interacting with patients was never hard. And dealing with insurances, not a lot of fun.
You know, you look pretty relaxed. I got to be honest with you. So I think it's going to work out. But you still know stuff. So we'll take some calls. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemot is here.
I still know stuff.
Yeah, you still know a few things. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551 if you got an aching something or other. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. And we got a couple already here. You ready?
I am.
This one is from Nelson, who writes, "Good afternoon. My name is Nelson." All right. We've established that. For about a month or longer, I've been having this arm pain that feels like my nerves tingling from the shoulder to my fingertips. It's worse when I'm driving. I'm very concerned. What could be the cause of this?
The neck. So the anytime someone has symptoms that radiate through the entire arm, I immediately think of the neck.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's in fingers also would lead me down that road. There is another possibility. There's a condition, a brachial plexus injury, but that usually requires trauma. So I would start with the neck. That's okay. The bottom line. And there's simple movements you can do. And specifically, while in the car, the most important thing would be two things. One is your posture. So a lot of times when you get in the car, if you scoot your bottom all the way back to the back of the seat and then physically lean back so your head is touching the headrest, and then adjust your mirrors.
Ah.
It's an easy reminder. So while you're driving, you forget and you slouch. You can't see out your rearview mirror, so you remember I should sit up straight.
Okay.
And then if you do have difficulty turning the neck, then it would be to restore movement. And usually that's what's happening. There's something happening at the joint that's irritating the nerve, and the source of the problem is the joint. The symptom is the nerve.
We're joined today by physical therapist Matthew Goodemot. Our number is 800-348-2551. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. Jonathan writes, "Massaging with the feet is called ashitai."
Okay.
All right. So now we know that. Go. This is from Jay in Newburgh. "My knees have meniscus tears and in general crack and creak all the time. I've tried to do squats the correct way, keeping knees aligned with ankles, but squats still hurts my knees. What other exercises can I do to strengthen muscles around the knees that do not include squats?" And that's from Jay in Newburgh.
Okay, I'm just going to address something quickly. A lot of people have degenerative tearing of the meniscus, and it's benign.
No.
So it's something that people think, oh boy, that's what's causing the pain. And sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's not. And the solution definitely is strengthening. The snap, crackling, popping, people who are active, especially people who have played sports like basketball and volleyball and tennis, they have a thing, the bottom of the kneecap gets rough, and that's also benign. It just makes noise.
Ah.
So people get nervous about things like that, but generally that's pretty benign.
What is actually making the noise?
So the cartilage actually does get roughened, and so it's kind of like instead of a nice smooth surface, there's a whole bunch of bumps. I always describe it to people like Rice Krispies, and so that's where the snap, crackle, pops come. Ideally, you have cartilage that is very smooth so that there's no friction and there's a effortless move. And if you get some bumps, little degenerative changes there, that's what leads to the snap, crackle, pop.
You say it's benign and also degenerative.
Yep.
At some point, does the degenerative become less than benign?
I love that you asked this question.
Okay.
Right? Degeneration does not equal anything other than, like, we get smaller as we get older, our skin changes, there's changes. That's a normal process of getting older.
Yeah.
Arthritis is different. Arthritis is degeneration with inflammation. So the inflammation is what makes it painful. Degeneration in and of itself is very rarely painful. For example, when you look in the mirror compared to your picture when you're 20.
I see a degenerate. Yes, yes, yeah, that's a good point. Yes, you make a great point.
So the exercise for the gentleman to do, there's two that I'm going to recommend. One is called a lateral step down, and all you need is a stair, like going into your house or up into the second floor of a house, and you stand sideways on it. And then with control, you reel gradually, lower your heel until it touches the step below.
Yeah.
And then bring yourself back up. It's a safe exercise, and it's a very effective strengthening exercise specifically for knee problems.
And don't you miss doing this in person, seeing your clients and doing that?
I do. I love answering questions. Honestly, one of the things I tell people, doing the radio is one of the most fun things I love to do. And I do a whole bunch of workshops, and that's also very fun. I don't miss the grind and I don't miss the sore hands, right?
Yeah, well, you listen. I mean, as long as you're in the country, you come in, we'll do a show from time to time. It's good to have you here.
Thanks.
Final email for now, and we'll hit the email bag again later. We'll do this one, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to physical therapist Matthew Goodemo today, this one's from Tom in Gardner, Mass. What can we do for lower back pain?
Oh, boy. The immediate thing, two, number one and number two, if you're having difficulty moving, it is absolutely necessary to restore the spine mobility. So spine mobility means bending forward, lumbar specifically, means bending forward, bending backwards, and then moving side to side.
Yeah.
And if you have a limitation in any one of those four movements, that's the starting point. Because if the joints aren't working properly, pain ensues.
Ah.
Number two is strength. Strength is being, more and more research is indicating that strength is beneficial for a gazillion things. But specifically for the lower back, my issue with it is people automatically jump into strength without first worrying about their mobility. So just based on my training and my experience, get your motion first, do the strength second. And strength takes time. It's a 4 to 6 week process, sometimes as long as 8 to 12 weeks. Persistence pays off.
Okay, let's take a break. Matthew Goodemo joins us today. We'll get to your physical therapy questions in a moment. 800-348-2551. First, a little music from the Marquees. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is our number. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemo drove like a bat out of hell and got to Studio A just in the nick of time. Great to have you back on the program. All right, let's go to the phones. We go to Dave in Albany. Dave, you're on. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Dan,
maybe? Are you there? Hello. Dave. Zach, the engineer, already having that vein is bursting in the top of his head. Dave, are you there? Ah, for Pete's sake, you wait 12 minutes and you... Yeah, sorry, Dave. Dave, if you call back, we'll get you on the air. Andy in Poughkeepsie. Andy, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So, I love the program, by the way.
Oh,
so
thanks.
I'm 35. I've always been pretty active. I started running more during the pandemic. Did my first marathon this past October, and I'll do another one this coming September. And what's been happening is that my feet are getting really cramped after I go for long runs, almost like the arches are like seizing. And then I started swimming a couple months ago, and I can't swim more than 100 yards maybe without the foot cramps just coming in and making it really tough to swim. So I drink what I think is a lot of water. And I think I eat like okay. So I don't know if it's like a stretching thing. Is it electrolytes or what?
I would go with the strength thing. So there's a muscle that attaches on the inner part of your shin bone, and it goes down and ends up right at the arch. And the fact that it bothers you while swimming and running, that's where I would go with that. And the simple answer to the problem is to address those muscles along the shin bone. And what you do is, the first thing you can do is you use your own fingers, ideally your thumb, and you drag it right along the shin bone on the inner part of it. And my guess is about midway down the shaft, you're going to find a nice big sore spot. So that sore spot you can massage out using your hands, and you can foam roll. And I would start to foam roll before you run and after you run, before you swim, after you swim. And then while you're at home, mm-hmm. I would spend time with no shoes, no arch support, nothing, walking around, starting with 5 or 10 minutes just around the house, and start to work on actual strengthening for the foot muscles themselves. One exercise is just single balance, standing on one foot and balancing on one leg. Start with just 20, 30 seconds of it. When it gets easy, do it with your eyes closed. And then there's specific exercises for the calf. Most people look into like calf raises and they forget that the soleus muscle doesn't cross the knee, which means that you can't really strengthen it with a simple calf raise. You have to do it with your knees bent. There's an exercise, it's called the creeper walk.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, yeah, you stand on your toes and you would walk like down a hallway, but your knees are bent. It's like you're creeping up on somebody.
Isn't there a restraining order or something that says you can't do that?
And it may not be called, that's how I was taught it, so okay, it could have a different name. But okay. I would do things like that to work on it. And the first thing, though, would be to find that big old knot you have in the muscle and start to get rid of that. And then you could even do it as a test run, you know, work on it before you go run and then just do your run and see if it's different. And if it is, then that's what it is and you need to address it. One last thought is the shoes could be the issue. So when people get a lot of problems in the foot, that can start to be, and the popular thing right now is a lot of cushion, which can help for some people, but it can also make your foot and specifically your calf muscles work extra hard.
Mm.
So that could also be what led to this if you're wearing extra cushions in your shoes.
Andy, thanks a lot for the call. But isn't the presence of cramps chronically, or could it be indicative of a nutritional issue or something else?
Yeah, my kind of reasoning for going with the strengthening was because of when it happens. So a cramp that would occur like afterwards, so let's say he had gone for a long run and he's sitting down for dinner and all of a sudden out of the blue he gets this bad cramp or in the middle of the night, I immediately go to electrolytes and I start to look at what's going on there. But the fact that it's happening during activity, and then he added the swimming, so his toes are pointed. And so that is a way you use the muscle. So,
by the way, if you're going to get cramps, do you want to be swimming in water?
Right.
At least not very deep, you know?
No.
Keep it to the kiddie pool. Dan is here. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I was there before, but you called me Dave, so I didn't respond right away.
That's because it said Dave. But now you're Dan, so go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you. I have a dislocated AV joint, a left shoulder. I'm 79. I'm not having much pain. I've been to the sports medicine guys and all that. I'm just wondering how much load bearing is left with that situation with a separated AV joint that really can't be corrected.
It's an AC joint, acromioclavicular. The acromioclavicular is where your shoulder blade attaches to your collarbone. And when it gets dislocated, number one, it looks bad. But after a period of time, it doesn't limit you a whole lot. So the issues would be to make sure you don't have any weakness in your rotator cuff. A lot of times the injury that caused the AC separation led to other injuries. If you're sure that the rotator
cuff... Well, they say it's not rotator cuff.
Nope, I know. There's certain strength that the rotator cuff... And you also mentioned the forces and how much you can use with it. So the rotator cuff, its job is to dynamically stabilize the shoulder. So if there's... It doesn't mean there's a damage to the rotator cuff, but it could be weakened because you had some type of trauma that led to this injury to the AC joint. So I would start making sure your rotator cuff is strong. And as long as it's strong, then you work on the shoulder blade muscles, the scapula muscles. And if they're strong, then there's no reason you can't press with this. So you can do push-ups, you can do other bench press type things with it. The issue is going to be overhead, and I would be a little cautious with real heavy weight there. But I'm not, I can't think of any reason, if you've checked the strength of the muscles, why the AC joint would be a contraindication. It would be cautious, proceed cautiously. Don't do something if you haven't been doing it for a while, and certainly don't do like overload. But I would address the muscles to make sure they're strong. And then as long as they're strong, I would just kind of gradually resume everything and wouldn't leave a restriction with you.
All right, Dan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote joins us today. He's a physical therapist. He is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy, a virtual-only PT practice. Is the link the same? Are you still at the domain?
So during the pandemic, I saw a lot of people virtually because of the pandemic, and I still see people and did while I was in Denmark, so that's why.
You were still working in Denmark, and you wouldn't call into the show.
I did workshops while I was over there as well. So.
And thank you for bringing that beer back. That was lovely. Matt in Saratoga. Matt, you're on.
Hi. I was just calling. I had an accident in 2016 involving my left shoulder, and I had some pretty bad range of motion and pain for the past couple years. I finally got an MRI, and they said there was just tendonitis in the shoulder, I've been working out, like, the area, like, the first rib, second rib with a tennis ball, and it's given me more range of motion. I was just wondering if there's any exercises I could do maybe to strengthen that area.
So I would also use that tennis ball. I like lacrosse balls better, by the way, and you can get them at Dick's pretty cheaply. They're a little bit more firm. But anyways, you can do right along right where your shoulder kind of joins to the back by your shoulder blade. There's usually a couple muscles right in there that could really benefit from some of that rolling that you've been doing. Strengthening, when it comes to the shoulder, the most common thing to address is the rotator cuff. And in your case, if you're having issues in the front of the shoulder, I would make sure your posture is working well, and I'd also make sure your shoulder blade is working well. So sometimes the limitation in motion is that restrictions that you've been finding, especially at that first rib, but sometimes the shoulder blade has a dysfunction to it, meaning it doesn't lift the way it's supposed to. And when you're lifting your arm overhead, the shoulder joint without the shoulder blade can only go so far. So sometimes it's not the shoulder joint that's limiting your motion, but the shoulder blade. And there's another possibility, just because it's been so long, that your thoracic spine could also be impeding your ability to get your arm overhead. So I'm a big mobility first before you get to stability or strength second. So I would go after and persist until your range of motion is like the right shoulder. And when it is, and while you're doing this, you can do some rotator cuff things, but the priority is the mobility and restoring all shoulder parts, which is the shoulder joint, the shoulder blade, the thoracic spine. So that's what I would do.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for the call. It's Physical Therapy Today with Matthew Goodemote. The number is 800-348-2551. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And we'll get back to the email bag after our break coming up in 10 minutes or so. But now let's go to Kinderhook. Malcolm, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
You hear me?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Splendid.
I have a sore forearm. Only feeling a little better with ibuprofen and the like, but basically it's been going on for almost 2 weeks, and I think that's too long for it not to feel better. It feels like I strained it at some point, and the pain that I get is from the top of the forearm. I can pick up a full cup of coffee without problem. As soon as I go to tip it toward my mouth to drink out of it, the pain is activated. I don't know what to do about this.
Metal straw.
So if it's from the elbow below, there's a bone in the forearm called your radius, and sometimes that little joint isn't working properly, which would lead to that difficulty turning. So you'd have pain when you pronate or supinate, but it wouldn't bother you to, like you described, lift a cup. So unfortunately, sometimes the solution here is to get to a physical therapist so they can actually assess what is the problem. The top of the arm, that's typically described as tennis elbow or lateral epicondylitis. And as we get older, we get degenerative tearing of the tendons. And if that's the case, then that would take time for it to go away. And certainly 2 weeks is not enough time. It would take longer than that. But it's important to have it looked at specifically, because if it's the radial head, you can do a simple joint mobilization and it's gone. And if it's not that, then it's going to be a strengthening things, and you'd want to learn the exercises specifically that you need as opposed to what I may need. And so that's what I would recommend.
Malcolm.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling. 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote joins us today. It's Physical Therapy on the program. We go to lovely Gesnectedy. Karen, you're on. Hello, Karen.
Hi. The question I have is, I had heel spur surgery, and on the right foot and on the right outer side near the heel, the lack of, I don't feel anything anymore from that surgery on the skin. It drives me crazy because on one hand I'm saying I don't feel anything, but on the other hand, it kind of like burns. And
yeah.
Any suggestions about
how long ago was the surgery?
It's over 2 years.
Okay. It's pushing it to get any return. So unfortunately, there's these little peripheral nerves, and when they're doing a surgery, they can get cut through the procedure to do the surgery itself.
Yeah.
So, but the what you'd want to do, if you still have sensation where you describe burning or something like that, that can be the nerve trying to regenerate. And the key with nerves is to stimulate them. And so you would do things like massaging the area. And then you would take something like a washcloth and get it wet and then hang it out overnight to dry so it's nice and rough. And in the morning, rub it on the tissue, on the part that's bothering you. And then get the same thing with like satin or silk and rub it on there. So the different textures, the different surfaces, the different temperatures, do a hot bath and then a cold bath and alternate between the two and just keep on trying to stimulate the nerve in as many possible ways as you can. You're really pushing it on time. So I would devote, you know, maybe a month to 6 weeks of doing this. And if you're not seeing any change at all, then you're probably not going to see any change at all. Your body will adapt and eventually it will get used to it. And in the next year to two, 5 years, you won't notice it as much. So it doesn't stay that, for most people, it doesn't stay that way. It just starts to fade over time.
It's been driving me nuts. I have been doing a variety of reteaching the nerve is what they told me.
Yep.
But I will keep trying. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Karen, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote joins us today. Cliff is in Kingston. Cliff, you're on.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, you know, pretty good. How are you?
All right. The reason I call is that I'm experiencing pains in the right side of my hip, and I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the way I'm sleeping at night, because it's becoming really a pain.
Yeah.
A real pain in my side.
So it's definitely possible.
From 1 to 10, it's about an 8.
Okay.
It's definitely possible that it's from laying on it too long. There's a bone that sticks out to the side. It's actually called the greater trochanter. It's part of our femur bone, or part of our thigh bone. And right on top of that is a bursa. A bursa's job is to create this nice slippery surface for the muscle to roll over so it doesn't bother it.
Oh.
And if it gets irritated and or inflamed, you'll have a lot of pain there to touch and when you lay on it, for example. There is one other possibility. Uh-huh. There's muscles that attach to the same thing. They're actually your muscles from your butt. They're gluteus muscles, and they can cause similar pain. Oh. And the way to figure it out, though, is having somebody actually look at it. The solution often for a greater trochanter bursitis is an injection and or therapy. Therapy can help. Takes a little bit longer. Injections make it go right away. If it's interfering with your sleep, you really should get it looked at because it can get significantly worse. And the less you sleep, the worse it will be.
One of the things is I keep my legs slightly raised. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
It could, but it's probably more just the fact of laying directly on it. So if you position your feet so it can turn that thigh bone and it can put it into a worse position, and you can play around with that a little bit. Sometimes putting a pillow between the knees can help, or changing positions. But again, if it's something that's waking you up and becomes a problem at night, you don't want to miss sleep because sleep is necessary for a lot of things.
Cliff, thank you very much for the call. Let's grab one more here before the next break. Liz in Rhinebeck. Hello, Liz.
Hi. My question is in regards to a groin pain. It's right where my leg attaches to the rest of me.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for a long time. About 20 years ago, I actually had it x-rayed. The doctor said, there's like this little gray area, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's really sharp. I'll be walking and I'll yelp because it's so sharp.
Yeah.
And then it goes away, and I completely forget about it. But I heard your show today, and it's actually bothering me. It's sort of changed this time. It's going down the inside of my thigh and to my knee.
Yep.
And just to let you know, I mean, I'm active. I'm an avid hiker up in the Catskills. I'm part of the 3500 Club.
Yep.
And I'm doing weight training, and I bike and I kayak.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me But the hiking is starting to, and that makes me want to cry.
So the first thing you need to do is get an x-ray of the hip, because the groin is often the hip joint. It does not mean, oh no, I need something or something bad's there, but it does give an idea. If it's not the hip joint where there's no degeneration, then it would point towards a muscle. And there's a adductor muscle, it's called, and it attaches exactly where you're describing, runs right down the inner thigh to the knee. So there are things there, like very simple to resolve with exercise. But if it is degeneration, then it would just shift your focus, and you'd have to work on your range of motion to maintain it. And you would have to do some strength training things just to maintain your activity level. There's no restriction in hiking and things like that. You want to actually, using it is good for it. So don't feel that way. However, if it is starting to degenerate, you do want to know about it so that you can address it directly and take the right steps to minimize pain and increase your function or maintain your function.
Okay. Okay. And very quickly. So it would be it. So the first stop is actually going to the doctors, not to a PT.
You can do a PT. So this is actually going to bring up some bad memories for me, because about 7 years ago, I treated a patient with a groin pull, and he had actually stepped funny. And so we treated the groin and pull, and it was muscular in our idea, and he did very well and got better. And then a year or so later, he emailed me in a very frustrated way, very cruel way, and said that his hip actually had degenerated and he needed a hip replacement, and was mad at me for not seeing it. So ever since then, I've been a little extra cautious with groin pain, and there's no harm in getting the x-ray first, because it doesn't mean it's not like I have to have a hip surgery or anything like that. It's just identifying, is it the hip? Because if you get the x-ray and there's no degeneration, then it really clarifies quickly that this is a muscle pull, so that when you go to the physical therapist, they're not going to think, oh, maybe it's a hip and you need to get an x-ray. So you can actually speed it up.
Liz, we got to take a break, but thank you for the call. Physical therapist Matthew Goodimo joins us. The number is 800-348-2551. We'll be back. I love it when Zach the engineer speaks French. It's wonderful. The number here is 800-348-2551, and it's Vox Pop physical therapist Matthew Goodimote. He's a world traveler. He stops in this way every couple of months. We try to get him on. Who knows where he'll be next? This email from Jason in Poughkeepsie. During Memorial Day, so about a month and a half ago, I guess we could check our calendar, Jason, and figure. I twisted wrong when trying to lift the last bag of concrete, and I hurt my lower back and was doubled over. I'm 33. Every morning I wake up with lower back pain. I do stretches, then yoga in the morning. I have a pretty physical job. Then at night it doesn't hurt as much. What should I do? That's Jason in Poughkeepsie.
So one of the things I mentioned right at the beginning of the show was that there's four movements in the lumbar spine. And generally speaking, when someone has persistent pain that's lasting more than 4 or 6 weeks, it's because one of those movements is not fully better. So I would identify if you have discomfort bending forward, bending backwards. The other movement's called a side glide. And it's basically you just shift your hips to the right and shift your hips to the left. If any of those movements are restricted and or painful, then it means that the joints in the lumbar spine are not functioning properly. And until you restore that movement, you're going to have pain. And the key is, if you have a specific movement that alleviates the pain, it makes it go away, and you move better afterwards, you do that specific movement. Too often people do the shotgun approach, where they try 10 different stretches because they've gone online and found 10 different stretches. And unfortunately, some of the stretches counteract one another and they do not restore your motion. So it's not a muscle problem, even though you may have soreness in the muscle. The fact that it's still going on and it's 8 weeks later tells me it's not the muscle. Also, because you didn't mention any bruising or swelling. So that's what a muscle would do.
All right, let's see here. This one is from Eve. I listen to Medical Monday often. Well, that's your problem. Often the issue of back pain comes up. I have only one thing to say. Pilates. I have two weak discs, L4 and 5. I used to have backaches frequently, but Pilates ended that forever in less than a year. Of course, I've never stopped practicing. Do you like the Pilates there?
Pilates,
Matthew?
Is fine.
What is it again?
Pilates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always used to pronounce it Pilates. Oh. I got some funny looks. What is it?
It's a developed by a gentleman named Joseph Pilates, and it's a series of movements and exercises, and they promote the program as a core base, so strengthening the core.
Ah, okay.
So you can do as many Pilates as you want. If you have a joint that's not working properly, it would potentially not work.
Right.
And usually doesn't. So often the truth of back pain is that 80 to 85% of all people get back pain. So the reason why it's a popular question is because it happens to most people. And it's not a straightforward thing. There's 20 plus reasons why you could have back pain. So if somebody, one person has a herniated disc, does not mean that the next person with a herniated disc is going to respond the same.
Yeah.
We have different bodies, different lives, different nutrition, different stressors, different occupations, different habits, everything. So although I'm not an anti-Pilates person, I am a restore your mobility first, because for 25 years, that's what I've done, and it's been very effective.
All right. And this one's from Wayne, and then we got to get back to the phones. We have a ton of emails that we won't get to everybody, I'm afraid, but we got to get some calls in here. This is the last email for now. Wayne writes, 4 days after finishing a 10-day course of Levaquin, I just now noticed somewhat mild Achilles tendonitis. Should I treat this any differently than normal tendonitis? Never had Achilles tendonitis in the past, but did have peroneal tendonitis a month ago, solved with better shoes.
So I'm not positive with the medication and what negative side effects. There are medications that can cause problems with the Achilles tendon. So the general solution for Achilles tendon is, number one, you want to have your mobility. So if you have good ankle and foot mobility, then it's all about strengthening. Our tendons are designed to move, and they're designed to handle forces. One of the most common mistakes people make is they rest. Resting for a day or so is fine, but resting weeks is not recommended.
Really? Now, you travel to Europe for weeks at a time. Are you finding time to work out and stretch and everything?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
definitely.
Right, well, sorry, continue.
Yes.
I interrupted.
So strengthening is a very, very important part. So you would want to do calf raises, both with the knees straight and the knees bent. As far as the medication, though, I really don't know if that particular medication leaves you more susceptible to injuries. And if so, that would require you going to have supervision when you did the exercises, because I wouldn't start someone off on a general program. I would do isometrics. I would do a whole bunch of other things first to make sure they were safe.
All right. Elizabeth in Poughkeepsie has been waiting over a half an hour here. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi, how are you, Ray? Thank
you,
Dr. Matt, for taking the call. Yeah, I'm at a gas station, but that's okay. I'm 58. I know I do have some arthritis, but I like to play pickleball and tennis and volleyball, and I'm very active. And that meant that I had a bad skiing accident about a year ago, so I have a level 3 dislocated right shoulder with clavicle dislocation as well. And now I'm wondering, so I have two questions. Is by degeneration, you were speaking previously, do you mean arthritis? And the second question is there a therapy to pop my arm back into place? Because I try to, I have restricted movement, and my arm's shorter when I try to raise it up.
Okay. So the first thing, this is me being a little bit annoying because I'm a stickler for terms. So degeneration is a normal process. There's nothing abnormal about degeneration, and it's just a pet peeve of mine when it gets blamed as a diagnosis.
Right. Now, let's not yell at Elizabeth.
No, I'm sorry, Elizabeth.
Sorry, Elizabeth, yes. I apologize if he's being curt with you. All right,
so,
go ahead.
So I treated a gentleman who was 17 years old who had degenerative disc disease in his back. That's abnormal. If you're over 50 and you have degeneration, that's normal.
Yeah.
So arthritis, by definition, arthro is the Latin word for joint, and itis at the end of any word means inflammation. Mm. So arthritis is an inflammation in the joint. Most people have arthritis, also have degeneration, but not everyone.
Yeah.
So it's just me being technical with words.
Okay.
As far as a therapist to adjust your shoulder back, no. If someone tries, do not let them. That would be very dangerous, and also would not likely help you at all. So it sounds like because you feel like the arm is shorter, it could be that your shoulder blade is what's the problem and not the AC separation. So an AC separation looks bad. but it doesn't lead to a lot of dysfunction for most people. There's lots you can do to restore your mobility, restore your strength, and restore your function. But if when you're reaching, you're noticing that your arm seems shorter, I would look to make sure, number one, everything around it is working properly, to make sure your shoulder joint is proper and make your shoulder blade is working properly. And if that's the case, then it's just a product of getting strength. Sometimes people can't lift the arm overhead, not because of motion, but because of weakness. So if you can do the mobility passively, but you can't actively, that's a strength issue, not a joint issue, not a mobility issue.
Elizabeth.
So are the muscles aligned in the shoulder even when it's hanging down there?
Did your shoulder
relocate it back into the joint space?
Oh, so it's not an AC dislocation. It's a glenohumeral.
It's true. It's AC and clavicle.
Well, your AC is your clavicle. So the AC, the A stands for acromion, and the C stands for clavicle. So an AC dislocation is, it's usually this giant bump on the top of your shoulder. If you had a dislocation of the glenohumeral joint, you have torn things.
Uh-oh.
There's no way to have a full dislocation and not tear things, which an MRI would show, and you would have dysfunction and possibly severe. So, but it's if this happened in the wintertime and you never saw anybody, it's time to see somebody.
Okay.
Because some of these things can be resolved, and if you wait too long, they become harder and harder. So, for example, if you tore your rotator cuff, that little tendon is drawing back more and more and making it more and more challenging to actually resolve. So I would address it sooner than later at this point.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for the call. Now we go over to Gloversville. Jessica, you're on.
Hi. I do a lot of running and hiking, but I have the most pain when I'm driving. My right glute aches a lot in the car.
Okay, it's your back. So the buttock is specifically when you're sitting. So low back pain, the most common reason people give me when I say how did it start is no apparent reason. And one of the worst things for it is sitting. And so butt pain, especially that comes on for no reason where you don't have a specific event that started it, is usually referred pain from the back. If it's not coming from the back, it could be coming from the hip joint, but because you run a lot and it doesn't bother you then, I don't think it's the hip joint. I would go right to the spine. And even though you're feeling it in the muscle, and people are going to tell you it's the piriformis, I put it on the bottom of my list. I would go directly at the lumbar spine, and I would address any possible issue up there first. And then secondarily, there's muscles inside the pelvis. There's one called your psoas, and there's another called the iliacus. They're inside the pelvis itself, and sometimes their pain referral is in the butt area, specifically the iliacus, in which case you would still want to address the lumbar spine to make sure it's functioning properly. But then second, you would want to address those muscles in the pelvis area. The piriformis is just, you didn't say that, so I shouldn't have brought it up. But butt pain is generally the back. So anytime patients come in, they say their butt's hurting, I say their back's hurting.
Maybe adjust the lumbar on your seat when you're driving.
Yep. Posture could be an issue. If it's only when driving, then that's a great suggestion. And sometimes having the seat slightly reclined or using a lumbar roll can help that as well.
All right, Jessica, thanks, and good luck with that one. Now let's go back to Albany. And Aida, you're on.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling because I'm doing a Rhodes Scholar trip, and I'm going to be walking about 3 miles a day. And I'm in my early 80s, and I would like to walk, have some exercises for training myself, because I find that I can't jump and I can't run anymore.
Right.
And I want to do that.
Oh, wow. So running and jumping as we get older becomes more and more difficult. As far as training for walking, and also not recommended, because if it's not something you've been doing right along, then that can be one of those things that overloads a joint or overloads a tendon and leads to an unnecessary injury. But walking, to prepare for that, the quick, easy answer is walk. So if you're already doing walking, that's great. And what you would do to prepare for a more continuous walking is start to up your walking. For example, let's say you're walking 3 blocks. So then what you would do is you would walk 4 blocks. So you wouldn't go from 3 to 23. You start off just real gradual, and you do just a little bit more, and you do 2 or 3 days at the bigger distance before you try to increase it. Another way to do it is to actually speed up a little bit. So do a brisk walk for like one block and then go back to your normal stroll kind of walk for the rest of the trip. And you just kind of keep playing around with a little bit of changes. And one last thing, I'm a huge advocate of hiking sticks. And the hiking sticks will not only improve your stamina when walking, but they're a little bit of extra for a workout and for safety purposes. So as you get older, I don't like canes and stuff, especially as we get older. I prefer hiking sticks because, again, they're a good workout and they provide very minimal support. But they allow you to keep your gait. Your arms are swinging appropriately. So that's what I would recommend.
Aida, thanks for the call. Let's quickly go now with a couple of minutes left in the program. Lauren in Otis, Massachusetts. Lauren, you're on.
I'm thrilled to get through. Thank you so much.
You bet.
My question has to do with an injury to my posterior tibial tendon.
Yes.
I'm not sure how I injured it. It could have been a couple months prior to four acute episodes 3 weeks apart. I missed the last cellar stair, landed hard on my outer ankle and fell. Yes. But I seemed to be fine when I got up. I don't remember even doing any icing. But subsequent to that, after going for a long walk involving some hills, I felt great during the walk. The next day, I couldn't put any weight at all on my foot. After icing and elevation for a few days, it went back to normal. This sort of thing happened four times. I did see a podiatrist and also an orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon. One recommended surgery. The other said, wait another few months, see if it gets better. Immobilize, do non-weight-bearing motions.
So
I'm not sure how long to immobilize, if I should be immobilizing.
So when it comes, this is just a PT thing. Tendons need to be used, and the longer you immobilize them, the harder it is to get over the episode. You have to immobilize if you can't weight-bear, so I get that part. But what I would start to do is just around your house, you'd start to take off any immobilization and walk, even if it's just for 15 minutes, and just start to gradually increase the time around your house before you try to go out and do any long distance walking.
But would the doctor say that's okay?
I don't know, Ray. It depends on, so if the restrictions are immobilization 24/7, no.
Okay.
But if they didn't say 24/7, then yes.
Okay,
and,
fair enough.
And immobilization also, to get out of the boot, you have to do some rehab type things. And it could be that you're going to need to go to PT to get over this and resolve it once and for all.
Lauren.
Okay. Would you recommend anti-inflammatories or?
Nope.
I historically have been a very active person. I'm actually a yoga instructor,
tendons,
which I have not been doing
tendons
lately.
Need strength, though. Tendons respond to strength. And if you didn't have a ruptured tendon, the sooner you can start working on the tendon, the sooner it gets strong again and you get back to your life. And tendons recover. They don't last forever. So you can definitely do things.
Hey, Matthew Goodemote, that was a good show. We got
Thank
a lot of people
Ray.
On the line. You'll have to come back at least one more before you go to Guam or wherever it is you're off to next.
Hey, sounds good.
Great job. And so the website is still the same?
Correct.
And what is that again?
Goodemote PT. So my last name and the letters PT. Com.
Well, thank you very much. Support comes from Asia Barong Gallery, Great Barrington. Campus includes Asian Sculpture Park, Furniture Showroom, and Ethnographic Art Gallery, China, Japan, Korea, India, Southeast Asia, AsiaBarong.com. The Albany Pine Bush Preserve, now accepting submissions for the annual Pine Bush Juried Photo Exhibit, featuring images taken from the preserve visitors. Try it again, semi-professional broadcaster. The Albany Pine Bush Preserve, now accepting submissions for the annual Pine Bush Juried Photo Exhibit, featuring images taken from the preserve visitors' perspective, albanypinebush.org. It's better the second time. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering curbside pickup or delivery within 3 miles for wine and craft spirits. Grapesandgrainswine.com for details. Once again, thanks to Matthew Goodemote for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls. Sorry if we didn't get to your call. We'll do it again real soon. Thanks to Zach Malloy, remarkably in a good mood even at the end of the program, which is a first. Ed Rosen screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we dig in the dirt. It's gardening.